today on Real Radio.
You want to live forever? You'd be a fool to say no. Jesus will give you eternal life. You don't want to get old anymore? Jesus says, if you die believing in me, yet shall you live eternally. Isn't that great? The problem is you have to decide.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Paul Pleads Guilty, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul's first missionary journeys. Now Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Where's God When You Need Him from Acts chapter 23, we saw how God was at work in Paul's life, even though he looked as though God had abandoned him. Now, Paul had been planting the seed of Christianity all over the known world. Still, his Christianity was being attacked by those he loves, the Jewish brethren. There will be those who will come against us in our faith in Christ, but you see, that's when God is protecting us the most. Now in Acts chapter 24, we'll see that Paul pleads guilty before his accusers, but his confession was for following the Lord. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul's confession was that outside of Christ, we are dead in our sins, but in Christ, we have the assurance that there is life after death. Paul pled guilty for reminding the Jewish leaders of their own doctrine that there will be a resurrection, but only those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life in heaven with him. And now, continuing his lesson called Paul Pleads Guilty, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're tolerant. We're so big now. We've grown up. We're tolerant. We can handle anything. Lay it on us. We can take it. I'm a Christian. Don't say that. Don't say that. I believe in God. No! Isn't it funny? We're so tolerant. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead. He's coming back. Somebody arrest this guy. We can tolerate everything. And you see, that's exactly what's happened in the Bible in your lap 2,000 years ago is what's happening today. Why? It's a spiritual thing. And it's going to go on, people. It's going to continue. Where does attacks like this take place? Not only in this courtroom. I don't know how you are, but 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. You know where else this kind of attack takes place? In my head, in my heart. Not only is the devil against me, not only is the world against me, but I'm against me. Isn't that weird? I want to do what's right, and my body wants to do something else. There's a war on the inside. I want to follow Christ, and my body wants to sleep in or play ping pong or whatever. It's weird. But Tertullius is so much like the enemy who's against us. Listen to this. Verse 14 and 15 is really the thrust of this entire section before us. Paul says, I am guilty. I confess. It's true. I confess to you, Felix, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, I have hope in God. That's what he's guilty of. Paul, are you guilty? I'm guilty. The word confess here is ek homologeo, or it is to homologeo, to speak the same word. Yes, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, and God would hold me accountable, and this is the truth. I am guilty of the way. I'm guilty of being a Christian. It's exactly what he's saying. And I am also guilty of worshiping. That song by Brian Duncan. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? The lyric in that song. When we were worshiping the Lord this morning, when we now have our Bibles open, are we guilty of being arrested? Is there enough evidence to arrest us for being a Christian? Paul says, man, I'm busted. You got me. Yeah, I'm guilty. He's guilty of worshiping. He says, I confess, I worship the God of our fathers. Well, that's the audience that was around him, the God of the Old Testament. He says, you know what? I'll go on to say that I confess that I'm guilty of believing in all of the scriptures, the Bible. Paul says, man, I believe in the Old Testament. The new hadn't been written yet. I believe in it. Can you imagine? Paul is so dumb. He missed the whole thing. Poor him and Jesus, they missed the whole deal because the Claremont School of Theology, right over here, our neighbors almost, they got their record straight now, you know. You can buy their Bible. Don't you dare give them a dime. You can buy their Bible. And they've done 8 years of research, and they'll tell you what Jesus really said. And the words that they know he really said are written in red. The ones that they don't know he really said, they put in pink. And the words that they know for a fact, they left black. Okay? Liberals. The same guys that the Bible said will come in the last days before Jesus shows up on the scene again. They're fulfilling Scripture. Well, guess what? They go on their seminars and their tours and they take up offerings and they ask you to support them in their great work. Well, guess what verse is the only verse written in red? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that convenient? Now, I'd like to go in there and do a little switcheroo and put in there where it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you guys. But you didn't hear that here. And that. Can you believe that? Poor. And they say, well, those things really didn't happen. Jonah, that didn't happen. Well, you know what? Poor Jesus. Because Jesus said that the story about Noah is an actual fact. Isn't it interesting that the things that Jesus attested to were the most criticized, most radical events in the Bible? Jesus says they were true. I'll give you a few just for you to consider. Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah are real cities. Time magazine says they're not. Jesus said that Adam and Eve were really created in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said that Noah built a ship. Jesus said that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Jesus said that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus also said, you kill me, 3 days later I'll rise from the dead. Now, am I going to believe some guys who sit in their office or one who says, I tell you what, 3 days later I'll rise from the dead? I know I've said a lot of radical things, but in 3 days, I think all the dust will settle. And 3 days later, the Roman government had guards standing outside the tomb with the seal of Rome on it, and the issue was given, don't let anybody near the tomb because we don't want anybody to steal his body. There could be a great conspiracy. Okay. And the Roman entourage is there, armed to the teeth. And what happens on Sunday morning? They get blown over because Jesus rises from the dead. Well, I don't know if I believe that. I'm not. That's your choice. That's your choice. But listen, I want to ask you something. What do you think about gambling? There are some people that think it's no problem to go down and gamble in Vegas or whatever, the Laughlin or whatever. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Somebody will ask me after service, maybe I'll cut you off at the pass, can Christians gamble? The answer is no, they can't, and I'll give you the answer why. Because Christians don't own anything. What? Yeah, read your Bible. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. It's His. Your life, your family, your home, your job, your children, the Bible says it's His. So can we go and listen, I'll make you feel better. You know when you go to Las Vegas and you see the incredible lights at night, you almost have to wear your sunglasses driving down the street. Jack, how do you know you've been there? Yes. On the way to Utah, there's no better place to get gas and prime rib for like $2. If you're hungry or you need gas, go to Vegas. But keep going. Why? Who pays the light bill in Las Vegas? Answer, the losers do. Don't they? Don't the losers pay? What are you guys? Everybody's like upset with me. Did all the gamblers come to second service this morning? The losers pay the light bill. Is that not true? Now, you might say, well, hey, wait a minute. Wait, no, the Bible says God owns you and all that you have. While the rest of the church is tithing money to feed the homeless and keep the widows in their house and their power on during the winter and everything else, imagine us going up to God and saying, God, excuse me, I know the homeless and the helpless and the... But can I go flush $20 down that one-armed bandit? Think about it. You go, man, I'm going to write you after this. You go ahead. And we could get into a real thing over this. But how silly and stupid for people to live their life thinking, it's all mine. I live, I bought, I live my life the way I want to. It's my world. And God says, hey, don't gamble. Give me your life. I gave it to you. Give it back and you'll find life. But people will put money into a little machine and they'll lose some money. But at the end, if you have never come to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus says you're either for me or you're against me. Don't gamble. Well, I'll just wait to see how it comes out in the end. You can't do that. Now's the time. But many people are gambling. And let's say this, and we'll wrap this up and close it. Let's say this. Let's say that Jesus is wrong, that the Bible is wrong, this message today is wrong. It's all wrong. And it doesn't pan out to be true. You can say, hey, see, I told you. Yeah, well, what we can say is, we still led a pretty neat life. We had peace. We were faithful to our spouses. We raised our kids in the Lord. They've got comfort. And you're a man or woman of integrity. Why? Because the Bible's had power in your life. Let's just pretend it's not real, though, okay? So we come to the end and we die, and we've lived a peaceful life. Nobody loses, nobody wins. It's annihilation. It's over. What if Jesus is right? What if this message is right? What if the Bible's right? And we come to the end of the ride, and you're wrong. That's gamble. That's a serious thing. These men are gambling that Paul's wrong, and they're fighting against it all. He says in verse 15, I have the hope of God, and that they themselves also accept that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. Skip down to verse 20 and 21, because this is the bulk of the matter. He says, or else those who are here themselves say, if they found anything wrong or any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement. And this is the whole point of the message, really. Paul is guilty for crying out concerning the resurrection of the dead. He says, I'm being judged before you this day. That's the reason. Isn't it incredible that in 1996, we're standing here, the difference, the issue today is the resurrection. We are all going to stand before God. If you're a Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, did you know all roads lead to God? All roads lead to God, but only one road leads to Jesus and salvation. The whole world will stand before God in the end. There will be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. The unjust, those who have rejected. The just, those who have received Jesus' offer. And it's serious. It's wonderful that it's that simple, but it's serious because it takes a decision on your part. I want to leave you with this. I want you to be thinking about this. We will die, people. And the Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die. And then it's too late. It's judgment. Well, listen to this. Daphne Banks, she's 61 years old. She's a farmer's wife. She's recovering in a hospital in Britain after being pronounced dead and taken into a mortuary. Undertakers took Mrs. Banks, 61, to a hospital in Huntington, East England. In the early hours of New Year's Day, after she was declared dead in her home by her physician, hospital spokeswoman Margaret Markey said the mortuary workers were about to put her into a deep freeze refrigerator when they noticed the signs of life and called the doctor. Banks was found breathing, and after given intensive care, she is now recovering well. Markey said, resurrection came as a shock to us all, but obviously we are intrigued by it. And we're very glad for Mrs. Banks. Not as glad as Mrs. Banks is glad. They thought she was dead. Here's another one. We'll end with this. Paris, France. A Frenchman comes back from the dead, is the headlines. twice listed as dead by French officials, said he was getting fed up with trying to explain to them that he was still alive. So far, I've died twice. Maurice Georges, 76-year-old French television interviewed, asked him, expressing frustration with the official errors, "The main thing is that I'm alive," he says. "In 1966, I applied in the local authorities for a birth certificate to obtain for an inheritance that I was to receive. They contacted me and told me that I had died in 1965, the year earlier. After a legal battle to come back from the dead, I applied again for my birth certificate, but they responded to me saying it was impossible to issue you a birth certificate seeing how you died in 1988. This poor guy's trying to convince his own country he's alive. He's called them up. You're dead. We're not talking to you. Isn't that amazing? Listen, the Bible says, Jesus said, the scriptures declare to us that we are dead while we yet live outside of Christ. We're dead. Jesus says, I'll give you everlasting life. The world says, we found the fountain of youth, we think. Jesus says, you believe in me and out of your innermost beings will flow rivers of living water. The world says, we've created a new drug. Jesus says, I'll give you new life, age-abiding life. DuPont says, I'll give you silicone. You see, the world is catching up to try to do what Jesus has always supplied to us. You want to live forever? You'd be a fool to say nope. Jesus will give you eternal life. You don't want to get old anymore? Jesus says, if you die believing in me, yet shall you live eternally. Isn't that great? The problem is you have to decide. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Father, behind us is a week that's new into the new year. And maybe, Father, it's become clear to us that we just had better make a decision for Jesus. He made the decision for us, for all of us, all of humanity, a long time ago. When Jesus voted for you, he cast his vote upon a cross. When he hung on that cross, Jesus was saying, I love you. Can you imagine as we're praying right now, standing around that throne, that cross, Jesus sitting, not vandalized, not victimized, but victorious on the cross. Jesus hanging there. It was love, not the nails that hung and kept him there. Love for you. And in that crowd looking on was a prostitute, was a woman caught in adultery, were embezzlers and robbers and thieves and murderers and people with horrible tempers, people that were jealous and selfish, standing in that crowd and their hearts forever being changed. Jesus was voting for them that day. And it also says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And your name may not be Joy this morning, but it could be Mark or John or Karen or Phyllis or Mary. For the Mary that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the John that was set before him, he endured the cross. And you want to be guilty now with Paul in believing the God of the Bible, pure, holy Bible, the hope of resurrection, Jesus Christ, the way. While we're praying right now, if that's you in this auditorium and you'd like to say yes to Jesus, the Bible says that we are to do this publicly, but publicly can be just me looking at your hand go up right now. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask you to go back to the prayer room. You're going to get a Bible and you can just tell one of the guys in there, you know what? I've received Jesus today. You can stand outside and never open that door and never know what awaits you. You're not joining this church. You're not joining a club. We may never see you again. That's not the issue. The issue is you come to Christ. Jesus says, all those who will come to me, I will no wise cast out. If you'd like to receive Jesus this morning, put your hand up high so I can see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you and you and you. You're saying yes to Jesus. As Chuck keeps playing, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray with our new brothers and sisters this morning. So let's all stand right now if you would. Let's pray together. Christians, why don't you help them along with this prayer? Those of you who raised your hand this morning, repeat this prayer, and the Lord will hear you and answer your prayer. You may feel, by the way, something tremendous. You may feel something like warm waters being washed over you. You may feel like you've kind of touched an electrical outlet a little bit. Or, like me, when I got saved, I didn't feel a thing. I just saw a change in my life, in the way that I thought and the way that I felt. So you pray right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I confess to you I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to put your Holy Spirit in me. Jesus, I today call upon your name. I ask you to save me now, and I thank you for it. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Paul Pleads Guilty. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. You can trust 100% upon the accuracy of the Bible. You can rest assured that you can build your life upon it. And you can expect fully that all that it says will come to pass. Paul Pleads Guilty is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we've journeyed through the Book of Acts, there's one thing about the Apostle Paul that stands out more than anything else. Paul had a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter what trial he was facing or how many times he went hungry or was beaten for the gospel's sake, he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God. You know, God wants that kind of relationship with you and me. We're not here by accident, and only God can rescue us from our sin and shame. Now, if you've made a decision to follow Christ, or you're ready to open your heart and invite him in, but you've got some questions, or you just want to know more of what a relationship with Jesus Christ really means, simply go to our website and tap on the tab that says Know God, that's spelled K-N-O-W, God. You'll not only find scriptures to support your decision, but Pastor Jack's also included a special video about what a commitment to Jesus Christ really means. So go to our website, that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and tap on the Know God tab. It'll even give you ideas on what to share with others about salvation. Again, it's the Know God tab, and you can find it right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.